I will be forever the myth.
You're the king of kings, though.
There's always a pecking order. The little peckers never mess with the big peckers. So I'm a rooster, and he's a chicken, so to speak.
Episode 8, Season 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast is brought to you by our sponsors, Redcon One, Old School Labs, and Florida Alternative Medicine. All right, welcome everybody to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. I'm your host, John Hansen, and in this season of Season 5, we are talking about the NABBA Mr. Universe. This is the historic event that took place every fall over in London, England, and still taking place today. It started off in 1950. Really a historic event that featured some of the legends of bodybuilding, such as Steve Reeves and Reg Park and Bill Pearl and Arnold Schwarzenegger and Frank Zane and many, many others. So we are talking about that competition in Season 5 of the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. And our guest today is Mr. Roy Duvall, who called in from England, from the United Kingdom. Roy has competed in the NABBA Universe many, many times. I think he competed a total of 10 times because he started in 1970 and went all the way up until he competed as a Masters. And he won the overall amateur NABBA Mr. Universe back in 1974. But he competed before that many times, and then he competed as a professional in the pro division of the NABBA Mr. Universe. Roy also won the IFBB Mr. Universe in 1979, and I got to see that contest because I was out in Columbus that year. And Roy won the middleweight class over a very big field of competitors, including Richard Baldwin from the USA, and Richard looked fantastic that year. So Roy's got a lot of history in the sport, and we're going to talk to him about some of the many people he's met and how he got involved in bodybuilding, and also some of the historic competitions he competed in and some of the legends he competed against, such as Frank Zane and Albert Beckles and Chris Dickerson, Boyer Coe. He competed against Sergio Oliva, and he competed with Arnold Schwarzenegger and actually worked out with Arnold many times. So we're going to talk to Roy about that. All right, I want to mention also we are brought to you by our sponsor, Redcon One. At Redcon One, everybody wants to be a champion. Everybody wants to be the best. And at Redcon One, they believe in working hard to achieve your goals. Whether you're killing it in the gym or running a six-minute mile, Redcon One has something for those willing to put in the work. Their premier clinically dosed pre-workout, Total War, is the perfect companion to your workout to give you that extra push to break through your mental and physical barriers. And then after your workout, you can fuel your body with the revolutionary MRE. This is the only whole food complete meal replacement with protein coming from salmon, chicken, beef, and eggs, and carbs coming from sweet potatoes and oats, and it also contains 10 grams of fat from MCT oil. This is the best tasting complete meal you will ever have. So go to redcon1.com and try the very best that sports nutrition has to offer. Redcon One, the highest state of readiness. And you can enter the discount code LEGENDS and get a 15% discount off your order because you are listening to the Bodybuilding Legends Podcast. We're also brought to you by Old School Labs. I've been with Old School Labs for several years now. This is the supplement company that draws on the wisdom of the golden era of fitness and bodybuilding to offer unique supplements for the discerning athlete. Old School Labs is the only brand that I use, trust, and associate my name with. They are the brand that I've used to win the Masters Natural Mr. Universe back in 2012. And they're also the company that sponsors Breon Ansley, who is the new 2017 Classic Physique Olympia champion. And Breon is only weeks away from competing in the 2018 Arnold Classic. They're also sponsoring Sergio Oliva Jr., who is one of the top pros, one of the most exciting new pros in the IFBB roster. And they've also taken on Samir Banut, 1983 Mr. Olympia, one of the most classic and symmetrical physiques ever. And I believe they also have Tom Platz on board now, the legendary Tom Platz. So Old School Labs is really getting bigger and bigger. Use the discount code LEGENDS12 when you go to oldschoollabs.com, and you'll get 12% off your order. Old School Labs, supplements that make sense. And as I mentioned last week, I just wrote an Arnold Classic predictions article for 2018. So that should be on oldschoollabs.com if you guys want to go check that out, see who I picked to win the Open Men Division. All right, I also have my new website up, dadbodtoripbod.com. So if you guys out there, I don't know how many people of our listeners have dad bods, But if you know anybody that has a dad bod or someone who's gotten out of shape and has gained too much fat, gotten away from working out, go check out dadbodtoripbod.com. And that's my new website. And you can fill out a training and nutrition questionnaire. And I will set up a whole new training and nutrition program for you based on what your needs are. If you're trying to lose weight, if you're trying to gain weight, whatever you want to do, I can do that. And then I'm there with you every step of the way. I check in with you every week and make sure that you're making progress. And if you're not making progress, then I just change your routine and change your diet. And we got some really great success stories on there. I've had a lot of success doing that out here in the Tampa, Florida area. So I thought I would start a website and get it going for anybody out there who wants to do it. I'm also working on my new book, Diary of a Natural Bodybuilder. Actually, the writing is all done now. So I just need to add some pictures and get a cover for the book, and we'll have it on Amazon.com probably around March 1st. If you guys want to get a sneak preview of the book, send me an email at naturalolympia@gmail.com, and I will send you a chapter of the book for free so you can check it out and pre-order if you like, or just get it on Amazon. But like I said, that should be out in a couple more weeks because I'm almost done with that. So that's looking good. And I will be out in Colorado Springs, Colorado, the weekend of the Arnold Classic from March 1st through the 4th. And I'll be at a conference out there giving a speech on the secrets of natural bodybuilding. So that should be exciting. I'm really excited about going out there. I haven't been to Colorado since I was a kid. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And they've got several other conferences set up. So that's called One World Conference. And the website for that is AAAI-ISSMFitness.com. So check that out. It's One World Conference. They do a bunch of training programs for people who want to be personal trainers or other types of fitness. And like I said, I'll be doing the seminar on the natural bodybuilding secrets. So it should be a lot of fun. I also want to mention we are brought to you by Florida Alternative Medicine, where age is just a number. If you want to feel great, optimize your energy levels, burn fat, and balance your hormone levels, go see the experts at Florida Alternative Medicine and Weight Loss. They have a certified and knowledgeable staff that will work with you to achieve your goals and get you the results you've been looking for. They offer a wide range of services that ensure you will not only look and feel amazing, but also be comfortable knowing that they're there for you every step of the way. They have very competitive pricing along with their quality products and services. So those are just a few additional reasons to give them a call for more information and experience firsthand what sets them apart from the rest. So you can visit their website at flalternativemeds.com. That's FL for Florida, flalternativemeds.com. Or call them directly at their office at 813-922-8939. Again, that's 813-922-8939. And mention that you heard their ad on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast, and you will get a free consultation, and also you'll get 20% off of any package you order. So give them a try. They're really doing great stuff out here in Florida. All right, here is our interview with Roy Duvall, Mr. Universe from 1974 in the NABBA Universe. And this is part one of our interview with Roy because we went a little long, so we will have part two up next week. But check out part one right here. Roy Duvall, Mr. Universe, calling in from the United Kingdom. Here you go. All right, welcome back to the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. And my special guest today is Mr. Roy Duvall, calling from the United Kingdom. Roy competed many times in the NABBA Mr. Universe, and he also won the 1979 IFBB Mr. Universe. So welcome to the show, Roy.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
All right. Well, Roy, let's start from the very beginning. Tell us how you got into bodybuilding, and what inspired you to start lifting weights and then eventually competing in bodybuilding competitions?
I think I always admired muscular physiques, but I thought these guys were like born that
yeah.
way.
Uh-huh.
And when I was about 15, 16, I started boxing training at a local youth club.
Okay.
The guy who taught us, he was a champion boxer. He boxed for, he represented England a few times, but had to stop because he lost all the fingers of one hand in an industrial accident. So he took up teaching, but he had a barbell there and a bench.
Mm-hmm.
But the bench he used in the boxing circuit training, but the barbell we used to mess about with. He used it for training, but we didn't know.
Right.
But we used to try and lift it. It was just a fixed barbell. It weighed 60 pounds. We used to try and press it over our heads, and he showed us how to do bench press, and I quite like the feel of that, you know.
Yeah.
And it went on from there. And then I saw the Hercules movies with Steve Reeves. But the first one I saw of him in was I think it's called Goliath and the Barbarians, which was after the Hercules ones. But after seeing them, I made sure I saw the Hercules ones when they were showing.
Okay.
And I really admired his physique, and I thought, well, like, that's fantastic. I'd love to look like that.
Yeah.
And then a chap knew where I lived. He started a little club in the youth centre there, where he taught a little bit of bodybuilding or weight training, whatever it was. And we didn't have any equipment really. We had some dumbbells and a barbell and a bench again. That was all we had. Didn't know much about it, but I hurt my back. I really hurt my back, and actually what I had done, I fractured a vertebrae in my back.
Oh, wow.
And the guy at the hospital who was treating me, he told me, he said, you should do some weight training. I didn't tell him that I'd already done some.
Yeah.
He said, you should do some weight training. He said, it'll help strengthen your lower back. So I joined a club in Walthamstow. I lived in Walthamstow in the east end of London.
Okay.
And I joined a club. I looked in the telephone directory for weightlifting.
Mm-hmm.
And there was Walthamstow weightlifting club. So I joined the weightlifting club. But basically it was powerlifting and weightlifting. So I trained doing some weightlifting and powerlifting, but I started to develop. And
what year was this, Roy?
This was about 1962,
63. Okay.
And I carried on there, doing the weightlifting and powerlifting, until I injured my back again.
Mm.
And I wasn't really that interested. I went occasionally. One week I might go twice, another week I might go three times.
Yeah.
I might a couple of weeks, you know. I was young and I wanted to get out of my motorbike and
with
my friends and things like that, you know.
Right.
What happened then was a friend I used to work with, he said that he was going to join Wag Bennett's gym in the East End of London.
Okay.
Would I go with him? And I said, no, last time I did any of that, it hurt my back. He said, you was doing weightlifting. He said, this is bodybuilding.
Okay.
So come with me anyway. And if you don't like it, you haven't got to go again. But I don't want to go on my own for the first time.
Great.
I went with him. And when we walked through the door, the first person that I saw in front of me was a man called John Hewlett.
Yeah.
Now, this was 1964. And a few months after then, John Hewlett won the NABBA Mr. Universe.
Right.
He won his high club three times before, and I couldn't believe my eyes. I thought, like, you know, he's the same width as he is high. And he looked enormous. He was about the same height as me then.
Yeah.
And he just looked enormous. And when I went in the gym, like, everybody was doing something different. It was so different from the weightlifting and the powerlifting, where we only did a few things.
Right.
Everyone was doing something different, and everyone was huffing and puffing, and I was hooked. I was absolutely hooked. I joined the gym, but my friend didn't go back. It put him off.
Right.
I just did
an interview with Wayne Galash. We were talking about the winners of the Mr. Universe, the NABBA Mr. Universe, and Wayne mentioned John Hewlett. We were talking about him when he won. And Wayne said he had a very rugged physique. A lot of people in America especially never heard of him. But Wayne said he would even do well in today's competitions because he had a really big, rugged physique.
Yeah, he was big for his day.
Yeah.
And immensely strong.
Wow.
Immensely strong. I remember he had a layoff for almost a year. And he came back and he looked quite a bit smaller and a little bit fatter.
Hmm.
And his first workout back, he was repping on the bench press with 360 pounds.
Wow.
And like within a couple of weeks, he was repping with 400 pounds.
Wow, really? And,
he was just a freak, really.
Yeah, right.
A freak. A bit like John Citrone. I think John Citrone
was
freak. I know John at around about 12 and a half stone. What do you call that? Say 170 pounds.
Okay.
He could bench press 500 pounds at any time of the day.
No kidding. John Citrone could bench press 500 any time.
I've seen him do it. And
wow.
He was phenomenally strong.
Jeez.
I was never as strong as that. I wasn't bad, but
yeah.
Not that strong.
Yeah. So when did you decide to compete then, Roy?
I started to compete. I went to see the 1964 Mr. Universe.
Okay.
Wag Bennett had a couple of seats available mm-hmm. to give to people, and he gave one to me and my friend, and we sat in the front row.
Okay.
And I saw this guy from our gym win the Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
I thought, I want to see if I can do something like that. And the Mr. Southeast Britain, which is a qualifier for the Mr. Britain, was being held in October that year.
Okay.
Now, I joined the gym in June. I seem to grow up a weed, you know, since I started weight training and eating properly.
Yeah.
So I entered the junior Mr. Southeast Group, which was for under 19-year-olds.
Okay.
And I placed fourth in my first competition, and
okay.
that really hooked me then.
Yeah.
So my second competition was a junior Mr. London. I placed third in that, but then I was too old for the juniors after that.
Okay.
My birthday was in the April, and I was too old for junior competitions. And there was, nowadays there are quite a lot of novice competitions, etc.
Okay.
But back then there was, so I had about 2 years off from competing, just trying to train hard, etc.
Okay.
I started competing again for 6 years. I competed, never placed lower than fourth,
mm-hmm.
but never placed higher than second.
Hmm.
I didn't seem to be able to win.
Right.
And I knew there was something wrong, I was doing something wrong or whatever it was, and I started studying nutrition. And I go to Her Majesty's stationery office in London,
okay.
and get all these leaks on nutrition, and half of them I didn't understand what they meant. I'd be looking in the dictionary, what does that mean?
Right.
Things like that. But I put things together, and some other time I'd read an article, and I remember that I saw it in one of those papers, and I really got into nutrition, and I started improving. And I joined Len Sells' gym. Len Sells, 1962 Mr. Universe.
Okay.
And he completely changed the way I looked, changed my outlook, changed my physique.
Hmm.
I was doing everything wrong. He told me when I first started training, he said, "You cheat worse than a bookmaker." He showed me how to do things properly.
Uh-huh.
He would criticize me, but it's honest criticism. It's okay for everyone in the gym saying you're looking good,
right?
But you need someone to tell you, look, you look okay, but your calves could do with a bit more work,
right?
Or your chest, you've got no chest, you know, you're like a pirate with a sunken chest.
did he help you with nutrition also, Roy?
No, not really.
Okay.
To be honest, I felt, not being big-headed, but I felt from all the reading and studying I did, I knew quite a bit about nutrition. I knew what to eat. I knew what made me fat. Basically, in between competitions, that's how I trained. I would do what we called bulk up.
Yeah.
It was getting fat, but I would train hard at a heavier body weight.
Right.
And then for competition, I would diet down and hoping that I'd grown a bit while I was, shall we say, bulked up.
Yeah.
I use that word, fat.
Right, right. So what kind of diet were you guys following back then, Roy? Because I know you guys didn't know a lot about nutrition. Like you said, you had to go to a library to get books out about nutrition.
Yeah.
Was it more low carbohydrate? I heard that's what a lot of people did back then.
It was, yes. Yeah. It was plenty of protein. When I was bulking up, anything went.
Yeah.
I would eat anything, like ice cream and...
Yeah.
Bread and all that sort of things. When I was dieting for a competition, I'd only eat potato, for instance, on a weekend.
Okay.
Monday to Friday, or Monday actually until Saturday night, my diet would be very strict to be high protein, mainly meat and eggs.
Okay.
A little bit of carbohydrate, but no fruit. It was just a little bit of vegetable, maybe.
Wow.
But in Sunday, anything went.
Yeah. How was your energy like when eating like that? Was it tough to get through your workouts?
No, I found actually getting through the workouts is okay. It was the rest of the day.
Mm.
You know, the rest of the day, I could be tired, I'd be miserable, I'd be moody.
Yeah.
No energy. But as soon as I started training, I don't know if it's the adrenaline, as soon as I started the workout, you know, I was fired up. I was very enthusiastic, and I trained hard all year. A lot of guys I knew back then trained hard for a competition,
mm-hmm.
and then backed off a bit during the rest of the year. But I thought, well, why only train hard for the last few weeks?
Right.
Train hard for 12 months.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what I did. I mean, my competition training didn't change.
Yeah.
So only the diet that changed.
When did you start placing higher than in competitions?
When I started training at Len Sales Gym.
Okay.
When I started training there, it was within a few months, I entered the Mr. Southeast Britain and I won that.
Okay.
I entered the Mr. London and won that.
Wow.
The Mr. Britain, I only placed fifth in Mr. Britain, but for my heart, I was the highest placer.
Okay.
Excuse me. So I was invited to the Mr. Europe. This was 1971. And I won my height class in the Mr. Europe and placed second overall.
Okay.
Which was, like, brilliant for me. I mean, I've never entered a competition of that standard before.
Yeah.
Let alone win, you know, so.
What year was that, Roy?
1971.
71, okay. That Mr. Europe, Paul Grant won that one, right? Correct?
That's right, yes. Paul Grant won. I was second overall. John Holt was third, and Bertil Fox was fourth.
Wow, what did Bertil Fox look like back then?
Scary, because he was very young.
Yeah.
He's a few years younger than me. I think he was 4 or 5 years younger than me.
Okay.
You could see that, like, this guy's going to be unbeatable one day.
Was he still a teenager mm-hmm. back then?
No, I think he was 20 or 21 years old.
Okay.
But he had arms like legs. I mean,
yeah, right.
we went to a restaurant, and he was wearing a jacket, and he looked like he was wearing a sweater underneath.
Uh-huh.
He took the jacket off in the restaurant, but the sweater was sleeveless.
Okay.
And he had these hanging. The whole restaurant went silent.
Wow. Yeah, I didn't know Bertil was competing in the Mr. Universe way back then.
Oh, this was Mr. Europe.
Oh, Mr. Europe. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. But you did go to the Mr. Universe that year also, right? In the NABBA Universe?
Yes. I can't remember where I placed. I really can't.
It says 7th place.
Is it?
7th, yeah.
That's probably right.
Albert Beckles and Roy Callender were 1st and 2nd.
Yeah. I entered in Mr. Britain in 1971 and was 5th, and Albert Beckles won.
Okay.
I can't remember the other placings. Sorry, 1970 that was.
Okay.
1971, I was 3rd, and Albert Beckles won it again.
Okay.
And I think Albert could have won it for the next 5 years if he chose to.
Wow.
He was way ahead of us.
Yeah.
Way ahead of us. And in 1972, I was 2nd to Paul Grant.
Okay.
And in 1973, I was fortunate enough to win. Yeah.
You won the Mr. Britain in 1973.
Mr. Britain. I won the Mr. United Kingdom in 72.
Okay.
The Mr. Britain in 1973, my height class and the overall Mr. Europe in 1973, my height class in the Mr. Universe that same year, and my height class and the overall Mr. World, AAU Mr. World
wow.
in 1973.
So that was a great year for you, right? 1973. Yeah.
It was, yeah.
So what were you doing to improve? Because I'm looking at your placings here, Roy. You went from in the Mr. Universe in 71, you took 7th, and then you took 4th in 72, and then finally in 73, you win your class, which is a big honor to win the NABBA Universe.
I think it was just the years of hard training.
Okay.
And becoming stricter with the diet.
Yeah.
Also, the support and the contradictory references sometimes from Len Sell.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he would criticize me. It was always a but. If he ever complimented me, it was a compliment, but.
Yeah.
As I said before, like, you know, you're not looking bad, but your calves could, but.
Right.
You know,
right.
Your chest is a bit flat, but, you know.
Yeah. What were your strong points back then, Roy? Criticizing. I mean, if you're looking at your physique from back then, what do you think your strong points were?
Possibly shoulders and arms.
Okay.
And back.
Okay.
But I think that went from the boxing training, because we used to do like a circuit.
Oh, yeah.
And there was things like press-ups, and we used to do rope climbing. It was in part of the circuit was climb up a rope and try not to use your legs, so you're only using your arms.
Okay.
With punching a heavy bag, you'd be putting a lot of back into it.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that sort of thing, I think, helped.
Okay. So who won the overall at the Universe in 73, right?
The overall Mr. Universe 73 amateur was Chris Dickerson.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was Dickerson.
Is that?
Yeah. 73.
Yes, 74 I won, he won the professional. Yes, 73, Chris won the amateur Mr. Universe, I believe, yeah.
Okay. What did you think of Chris's physique?
I thought it was remarkable. Very, very Bill Pearlish.
Yeah, yeah.
Bill Pearl was always, I was always an idol of Bill Pearl.
Yeah.
You know, as much as I really loved physique, Steve Reeves' physique,
mm-hmm.
And obviously Arnold, because I had a lot of association with Arnold in the early days. He used to come to England and train at Wag Bennett's, and I would work out with him.
Oh, really?
Sometime.
Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't his regular training partner. It was just that we had one or two workouts together.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was good, but and I really admire. I mean, he's like huge, really Herculean.
Arnold.
But for me, Bill Pearl, I always wanted to look like Bill Pearl, but never could.
Yeah,
he had the shape, the wide shoulders, the small hips and waist, but he also looked powerful with it.
Yeah, yeah.
He always looked as though he was powerful, and he was powerful.
Right.
Yeah, I'll see him do a strongman act once, and that was phenomenal.
What did he do in the strongman act?
He bent some nails. He'd just finished posing.
Okay.
It was his last appearance in the UK. He said he was retiring.
Okay.
He did about 6 encores posing.
Wow.
In 1971, we just won the Mr. Universe.
Right.
It was a week after the Mr. Universe. He went off and put a robe on. And that's the only rest he had, putting a robe on, and he came out with this strongman act, and he bent some spikes, some 6-inch spikes.
Yeah.
He did some other things. He got a number plate, a car number plate.
Uh-huh.
He had the audience so we could test it, make sure it hadn't been tampered with, and tore it in half.
Wow.
He told me an interesting story. I don't know how true it is. He said that he tore a deck of cards in half.
Wow.
At a show.
Wow.
That used to be his act.
Mm-hmm.
And the elastic band around each half of the cards,
uh-huh.
And set them out in the audience so they could see they haven't been cut with a bandsaw, they've been really torn.
Right.
And in the changing room, there's a knock on the door, and he opened the door and there's nobody there. But on the floor was like a little bundle of a handkerchief tied up with something inside it. And when he opened it, the half a deck of cards that he put out had been torn in half again.
Hmm.
So he didn't do it anymore.
So he tore the deck of cards in half, and what happened? He went into his dressing room?
Somebody else in the audience tore one of the cards in half again.
Oh, okay. There were some strong guys in the audience, too.
Yeah. He thinks he knows who it was, but he wasn't sure.
Yeah. What was it like working out with Arnold at Wag Bennett's gym? What was that experience like?
It was excellent, really. I mean, I was learning. I was really hungry for knowledge and everything. And I was watching. He used to do bench press. He would do bench press sitting astride a bench without a backrest.
Hmm.
So he liked to do bench press like that. So we'd use a bench press bench with a bar on the stands, and he would sit with his back to the bar, and I lifted it up and put it on the back of his shoulders for him to press. And now I'm that close to him, like I'm putting the thing on his shoulders, and I couldn't believe what I was looking at because his shoulders looked about that thick.
Yeah, wow. So this is like a press behind the neck then, right?
Yeah, press behind neck.
Okay.
He was doing press behind neck, and we were supersetting that with lateral raise.
Okay. How much weight was he using on the press behind the neck?
He was using about 240 pounds.
Wow, that's a lot of weight.
It's a lot of weight. He was doing 6 reps. He it was before he went to live in the USA.
Okay.
When he came back from the USA, his things have really changed. Everything he did was 5 sets of 6 before he went.
Okay.
Everything, squats, curls, shoulders, whatever body part was 5 sets of 6.
Okay.
When he came back from the States, 1969 he came back, he looked completely different. He was ripped.
Yeah.
He was doing much higher reps. He was doing roughly 12 repetitions.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you saw him in like 68, he was really big then. He was young and big.
He was big, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that's the way Reg Park used to train a lot too, right? He did like 5 sets of 6.
I think Arnold emulated him quite a lot, or copied him, shall we say, quite a lot, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And when you said he was doing the press behind the neck, you meant he had no back, there was no bench to support him. He was just sitting on the bench himself. Yeah.
So that's how I did it for quite a long while.
Right.
If it's good enough for him, it's good enough for me.
Right. Did you ever get a chance to see Bill Pearl train?
Yes. In Australia, I saw him train. And that was a shock.
What was that like?
Well, he was training with Dennis Tinerino.
Okay.
And he was doing just a regular workout with Dennis. But the shock was afterwards when we went into the shower. He looked amazing.
Yeah.
And Bill was there because he was supposed to do the commentary for the television. But he pulled out of it because he didn't like the way things were going. I won't go into that.
Right.
You know, when Arnold won in Australia.
Yeah.
In Australia.
Yeah.
And I said to Bill, "Bill, are you competing?" He said, "No, don't be silly." I said, "You guest posing?" He said, "No." I put my foot in it. I said, "How come you look so good?" He said, "You think I trained to look bad?"
And I think he was really 50 years old back then, right? 1980.
He must have been, yeah.
Yeah, because he was born in 1930, so he looked that good, huh?
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, he looked amazing, yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, a lot of admiration and respect for that man.
Yeah, a lot of people do. I think, you know, I talked to a lot of former champions and people who competed back then, and a lot of people really look up to Bill Pearl.
He paid me the greatest compliment I've ever had. It was better than winning the Mr. Universe.
What did he say?
I drove all the way from up in the southwest of England, and he was doing a seminar up in Manchester, which is in the north of England. And I drove all the way up there with a friend of mine to listen to this seminar, or to see this seminar with Bill Pearl. And we got stuck in a traffic jam, roadblock, and we got there a bit late. It already started. So we crept in the door and sort of back, trying to disturb everyone. And he saw us walk through the door and put his hand up on me, continued. And then he stopped and he said, "Excuse me, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to speak to somebody." And he came up the back and shook hands with me, thanked me for going there, and would I come down and help him with this?
Hmm.
And I didn't want to. I said, "Bill, I've come here to listen to you. I want to learn from you." He said, "No, come on. He dressed me down. He said, "Come and help me with it." And for me, I mean, it's got being crowned King of England.
Yeah, right. That's wild. So, Roy, in 1974, you went back to the NABBA Universe, and this time you won the overall. You won the amateur overall. What was that like?
Yeah. To be honest, it was like an anticlimax.
Yeah, really? Okay.
I felt so elated when I won the Mr. Britain and the Mr. World, especially the Mr. World in the USA. I didn't realize that people knew who I was, and it was the reception I got was amazing. You know, I didn't think I should have, on foreign ground, and most of the competitors were American. There was one or two from the West Indies, the partner, the rest were American, and they were good. In fact, they were very good, you know, and there was Will Penny and Doug Beaver and people like that, and Willie Johnson, Dave Johns.
Yeah.
There were some good physiques there. But I was very fortunate. I won it. And it was amazing. I won a couple of body parts as well, which the AAU used to do in those days.
Yeah.
I think I won best chest and best legs.
Yeah.
If I'd win anything, it would be best arms, but Doug Beaver won that.
Okay.
With amazing arms, and Willie Johnson won best back.
Yeah.
He's left like Concord.
Yeah, Willie Johnson was a great bodybuilder. I remember him. He used to always compete in Mr. America every year. How did you find out about that show, Roy? Because you were living in England, and did they invite you over to compete in that, in the Mr. World?
There's Frank Page, who was the director of the Louisville Art Museum. He used to judge the NABBA Mr. Universe every year.
Okay.
And I think it was a sort of a tax thing that he wanted to sponsor whoever won the Mr. Britain to America to enter the Mr. World. And I was fortunate enough to win it that year, win the Mr. Britain. And he paid my fare over. I stayed at his house. He asked me if I could stay there for another week. And he would take me around. He took me to Detroit, and he asked me what I was interested in. I was always interested in the Old West. Always cowboy mad when I was a kid. Well, even now I am. Most of my DVDs are westerns.
Okay.
And he took me to places like where Daniel Boone started the Oregon Trail.
Oh, really? Okay.
It's just a little track going to the forest. That's where it started.
Yeah.
It took me to, so I think it was called Green Beach, and there's all historical places there. There was the cabin where Kit Carson was born.
Okay.
And they had taken down and put there and rebuilt, and all the stuff in it was exactly the same. The muck that was between the logs, they powdered down and re-wet it and put exactly the same stuff back. There was the chair that Abraham Lincoln was sitting in when he was assassinated by John Wilkes Booth. And,
wow, okay.
It was old Wells Fargo's fish coach that he got on and went from one place to another. It was fantastic.
That was your first time in America, Roy?
That was the first time, yes.
Yeah. You won the NABBA Universe in 74. That's when you won the overall. And then after that, now, Roy, when you were competing in the NABBA Universe and then you went over to the AAU Mr. World, did you ever think about switching over to the IFBB, or was NABBA sort of a bigger organization back then?
NABBA was the main one in the UK.
Okay.
Didn't know much about the IFBB as such.
Yeah.
At first, I mean, eventually we did, obviously, because they started holding competitions in the UK via Dennis Stallard.
Yeah.
But I was mainly interested. I went to South Africa to live in 1974, and I came back in 1975 to enter the NABBA Pro Mr. Universe.
Okay.
Now, I placed second overall to Boya Ko.
Okay.
And that was professional, so I thought, well, you know, that's all I could do from now on.
Yeah.
I came back to live in the UK in 1976. And I was managing a gym for a chap in the West Country, where I'm living now.
Okay.
He was also an equipment manufacturer.
Okay.
And he made equipment for Dennis Stallard.
Okay.
But he also made equipment for an American company called Younglings.
Mm-hmm.
A German company called Younglings.
Okay.
And Baird Youngling, the owner of Younglings, he wanted to use me for advertising purposes.
Okay.
So that was fine. I was on a yearly retainer. In 1979, end of 1978, actually, he said to me, if you could win a competition, any competition, he said, we could improve the advertising, and I'll pay you more money for your, for your troubles, for your advertisements.
Yeah.
So I thought, what can I do? The only contest open for me was the Navi Universe.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't going to beat Bertolt Fox. So I didn't know what to do. So in February that year, I was involved in a bad automobile accident.
Oh, okay.
And I completely broke my wrist. It was completely broken in half. My hand was sticking up here.
Wow.
And I had like head injuries, and I was scalped, and all that sort of. Didn't wear a seatbelt, but
yeah,
it didn't have to. In that, it wasn't compulsory then.
Right,
it is now. But back then, it wasn't. And my arm was in a plaster from the beginning of February to about the middle of April, which was a long time.
Yeah,
and the guy there in the hospital told me that I wouldn't train again.
Hmm.
The same before. And probably be a year before I could ever lift a weight again.
Jeez.
Well, I wasn't going to have that.
Yeah.
As soon as the plaster came off, I tried. And at first I thought, well, maybe he's right. I could not curl. This is the truth. I couldn't curl a 1 kilo dumbbell. That weighs 3.2 pounds. I couldn't curl it.
Wow, man.
So weak. And so much muscle wastage.
Yeah, and yeah. That's a long time to be in a cast.
Yeah. I went to hospital for physiotherapy. They arranged physiotherapy for me once a week. And I was talking to the physiotherapist about my bodybuilding, etc., etc. So he started treating me every day.
Okay.
And I've got stronger and stronger, and then everything started coming back.
Yeah.
And I thought, I still can't do this competition this year. I wonder if I can, what's the point of entering the Navi Universe?
Yeah.
Well, in the meantime, the chap I was working for, he spoke to Dennis Stallard, and Dennis Stallard said, well, why doesn't he compete in the IFBB?
Mm-hmm.
Hence my Mr. Britain. So I went to see him, and I said, is it professional? He said, no, it's amateur. I said, but I've competed in the professional Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
The Navi Mr. Universe. He said, well, how much money did you win? I said, well, there isn't a money prize. There wasn't back then.
Right, right.
People like Arn and Frank Zane and Bill Pearl and Reg Park, they all came over just to win a trophy.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's what we got, you know? And he said, well, as far as the IFBB is concerned, if you don't compete for a prize, for a money prize, you're not a professional. You're still an amateur.
Yeah.
I thought, well, if it's your rules, and if you want me, if you let me, I'll do it, because I can do this extra money from the advertising.
Right.
And things started coming together. I entered the Mr. Britain competition, what I call British Championships.
Yeah.
And luckily I won that. And then a few weeks later, went to the USA and entered the IFBB Mr. Universe.
Yeah.
It was a problem at first for me, because Jim Mannion tried to get me barred because he said I was a professional. Ben Wheeler came, spoke to me, said, he asked me the same as Dennis, have you ever competed for a money prize? I said, no.
Yeah.
Only for a trophy. He said, then as far as we're concerned, you're amateur.
Okay.
I must say that every judge there, including Jim Mannion, put me first.
Oh, really? Okay. I got to see you in that contest, Roy, because I went to Columbus that year in 1979, and I saw the Mr. Universe. So I saw you win over Richard Baldwin in the middleweight class. I was really impressed with your physique because I had seen pictures of you before at the in the magazines winning the Mr. Universe in Napa, but I never saw you in person. And when I saw you in person, I thought there was a big difference between, you know, seeing you in person and then seeing you in the magazines, because you could really see the quality of your physique, especially, like you said, your shoulders, your arms. I just thought, you know, you stood above everyone else, and that was a tough division. That was a lot of people in that contest, right?
But Richie was in remarkable condition.
Yeah, he was. He was.
He was. Yeah, he was. He was shredded.
Yeah.
I thought it was close, but from what Dennis told me about the judging afterwards, every judge had put me gave me the highest score.
Yeah.
The highest score they knocked off was 20. The lowest score they knocked off was 20. So I had what he called the perfect 300.
Wow, that's great. So what was that like? What was that like competing in the IFBB?
It was, I thought that, you know, it was, they were seemed to be more thorough with the judging. I thought they seemed more thorough with the judging, and Arnold organized that competition in Columbus.
Right, right.
And backstage organization was incredible.
Really? Okay.
Era to anything I've ever seen before.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was food laid on for us, drinks laid on for us, free.
Yeah.
It was a training area, and then you was called backstage so many minutes before you had to go on stage. If you weren't there, you was disqualified.
Mm-hmm.
So it ran according to the clock.
Yeah.
And everything really well organized, incredible.
Yeah. Yeah, Jim Lorimer and Arnold really did a great job organizing those shows, and it was really. What was it like seeing the Mr. Olympia that year? Because you got to see the Mr. Olympia also, right?
I got to see the Mr. Olympia the day after.
Yeah,
and that was great. Frank Zane.
Yeah, won his third one, right?
I was very impressed with Robbie Robinson and with Mike Mentzer and with Boyer Coe. You can't not be impressed with Boyer Coe. He always looks good.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that like? What was that like taking second to Boyer? What year was that?
1975.
Yeah.
I remember saying to Boyer, I shook hands with him, congratulated him, and I said it must have been close. And I think he took it wrong. I think he thought that I meant it was close between him and me.
Yeah.
And what I meant was it was close between me and the others for coming second.
Oh, okay.
Because Dennis Petsus and Tony Emmett and a few other really good physiques there.
Yeah.
You know, I thought it was close between us. He was the outstanding winner.
Yeah.
He looked amazing.
Yeah.
I think that's the best I've ever seen him, actually.
When you took second to him?
Yeah,
really?
I think it was the best he ever looked, yeah.
Wow.
Absolutely incredible.
Yeah, he had incredible arms, didn't he?
Oh, yes. But his stage presence, and he knew what poses suited him and what didn't.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of guys don't realize, they like doing a pose because they like the pose, but they don't realize it doesn't suit them.
It doesn't look good for them, right? Yeah.
That's right. Same with Frank Zane. I mean, Frank Zane doesn't do anything that doesn't suit. You never see Frank Zane do a trapezius pose.
Right.
You know, he doesn't suit him, so he doesn't do it.
All right, thanks for listening to another episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. Thanks to Roy Duvall for being a guest this week, and we will have part two of our interview with Roy Duvall next week on the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, Florida Alternative Medicine, Redcon One, and Old School Labs for sponsoring this episode of the Bodybuilding Legends podcast. We will see you guys next week. Take care, everybody.